Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome in to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth, joined this evening by Brooks Bratton of NashvillePredators.com and the Predators official podcast every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on these airwaves on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brooks, thank you so much for joining me here this evening.
Absolutely, Porth. It's good to be with you. I was remembering that the last time I stopped by, I was in a car on the side of the road in Maine on vacation. So it looks a little bit different now, just fresh back from South Florida and a preseason doubleheader. But it's good to be here and really get talking as some hockey gets going here.
Well, you've been like a Johnny Cash song. You've been everywhere in the last month or so. You've been to Maine. You've been to New York. You've been to South Beach. I mean, you've been everywhere.
I'm trying to get it all in, you know, some for pleasure, some for business. But, you know, now we're back at it. And I was saying to Darren McFarland during pregame for the preseason doubleheader on Sunday, I was like, this is the first time that I had been in a press box since March of 2020. My last press box was in Montreal. Then the season got shut down all the way, but it seems like 10 years ago,
yeah.
Of course, but March of 2020, last season I was bubbled up. So I was around the team. I was not allowed in any press box. So I was in the press box in Florida on Sunday, and what a welcome reprieve that was, just to get back to the environment that I'm used to and to be able to jump on with Darren on pregame. That was something that I hadn't been able to do in that way in a while either. So it's good to have a little bit of a sense of normalcy back in that way.
Well, the doubleheader for preseason brings a sense of normalcy too, because they've kicked off with Florida, you know, kicked off the preseason almost every season for as long as I can remember with this doubleheader. And then obviously last season, everything was totally different. They did have Florida as a division rival last season. And now things, again, getting back to normal. But I always laugh that the Preds will open training camp and then 2 days later, they'll play a doubleheader. You know, they jump right into it, unlike in football where you're just waiting and waiting and waiting for your favorite team to just face another opponent in preseason and then get to the regular season. But let's get to yesterday's preseason doubleheader for the Nashville Predators. They lose game one by a score of 5-4 in overtime, and then they lose game two by a score of 3-1. So they drop both games to the Florida Panthers. I mean, from a result standpoint, the Panthers had better rosters in both games. Their star players played. The Predators' star players did not play, including UC Saros, Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene. None of them played yesterday. It was a lot of the third, fourth liners and some guys you would figure would be in the AHL this season to be able to evaluate a lot of different players at the same time, where you're wanting to see that evaluation process from those players and not necessarily from guys like Johansson, Duchene, Josi, Saros yet.
Exactly. And you mentioned Florida dressing their star players. I think that's kind of what you see in the preseason, at least early on, if you have a home game, right? I feel like if we would have been in Nashville, maybe you do get some of the bigger names that get into this game, just as kind of a little treat for the fans, let them get one of their preseason games out of the way. But you're right. And that's not to say we're making excuses and saying Florida had a better roster, because the Predators liked a lot of the things that they did in both of those games. And, you know, of course you want to win. That's the way that you're wired. You want to win every time you step on the ice, preseason or not. But the Predators were really happy with a lot of the things that they saw yesterday, a lot of the things they were able to get done. As you said, a number of those players who will end up playing in the American Hockey League for Carl Taylor and the Milwaukee Admirals, he was actually on the bench yesterday as well with the Nashville coaching staff and getting a look at a lot of the guys that he'll have on his roster. But it's such a great evaluation tool. And you mentioned it doing it early on, to be able to get a look at 40 players of the 55 that are on the training camp roster, that's invaluable because you can practice all day and all night. It's not going to tell you what you need to see in a game setting. And that's really, to me, the best way. And I think to everyone, honestly, the best way to evaluate your players and what they're capable of and where they might fit on your roster, on someone else's roster in the organization. So no, all in all, and as you said, an overtime loss in game one, 5-4 and a 3-1 loss in game two. You don't like the result, but you like a lot of what you saw. And that was kind of the sentiment from John Hines after the game, is saying just to see a lot of our young guys, to see a lot of the things that we've practiced the last couple of days in training camp, to see us now try to implement those as far as systems and strategies are concerned. A lot of things to like out of that. So again, 0-2 to start off that doubleheader, but I think from a system perspective and just an evaluation standpoint, the Predators saw exactly what they were hoping for on Sunday.
So like we mentioned, the star players did not play for the Nashville Predators, but some players with a lot of intrigue going into the season did play yesterday that fans are very intrigued by. Brooks, what were maybe two or three players from a Predator standpoint that stood out in yesterday's doubleheader against Florida?
Yeah, no disrespect to the guys who played yesterday, but they're not, they're not the biggest names. I mean, that's just, you're right. But that's, again, like you said, a ton of guys with a lot of intrigue. And it was really good to see, you know, some guys I think that we just hadn't even seen here yet in Nashville. And the first guy that comes to mind yesterday, and it's kind of obvious because he had two goals in the first game, but Tanner Jeannot, and I love what he said after the game. You know, I kind of asked him, what was it like just to play in a preseason game, to get back into game action? And he was like, well, the summer league hockey with no contact that I play back home in the summer, he's like, that's not really my style. You know, he likes to get out there and be a physical player, but the Predators are hoping he can chip in on some offense. We saw it a little bit last season as a rookie, as he really got his first shot. And we saw that again yesterday. And it wasn't like, to me, the goals that he scored, they were both in tight. They were both off of rebounds or scrambles in front of the net. But it wasn't, you know, the classic fourth line grinder just jamming it in, right? Like, he made two really nice moves in tight. Like, Tanner Jeannot has some hands on him. Because the two goals that he scored, the first one, he collected a rebound to the left side of the net, right in front, and had the wherewithal to go top shelf on the goaltender. That was a pretty nifty goal. And then his second one that tied the game late in the third period in game one, again, collected a puck in tight and was able to make a little move around the goaltender. It just barely trickled over the line. But the two plays that he made in front of the net were very impressive to me. I think a lot of times, especially a younger player, if you're going to the net, you're crashing the net, you're just hacking and whacking and trying to do anything that you can to get the puck over the line. And Jeannot, from a goal scoring perspective, that was pretty impressive to me yesterday. And you know what he brings on the physicality as well. So he looked really good. And he said that he felt really good after the game. The Predators, of course, liked what they saw from him. Someone else we saw with a lot of intrigue, Cody Glass, gets his first opportunity after being acquired by the Predators in the offseason. Of course, the sixth overall pick in the 2017 NHL draft, he comes over from Vegas. And the Preds have a lot of hope for what he can bring to the lineup. He's only 22, has dealt with injuries, never really got that big of a chance in Vegas consistently to really show what he was capable of. And so really liked a lot of what he brought yesterday too. He's got some speed. He's skilled, of course. You know that if you're getting picked sixth overall. And he hit the post in the first period. I mean, we could very easily be talking about a Cody Glass goal going to the net. But some work on the power play as well. He's able to make plays. He's certainly able to chip in on offense. That's what the Predators are hoping for from him. But also the ability to be a big two-way center with a lot of potential. So really liked a lot of what we saw from him. He also scored in a shootout. They did a shootout just for the heck of it after both games. He scored in that opportunity. And then I'll throw a couple more real quick who played together in the second game, Nick Cousins and Phil Tomasino. I thought Cousins looked really good. Like, we know what you're getting from him. But just simple things like carrying the puck through the neutral zone and making some moves around guys, bringing that physicality and the chippiness and just doing some talking out there on the ice that you need from time to time. Nick Cousins looked really good. And Phil Tomasino too, he's a young guy. He's going to make mistakes, and he did make some mistakes yesterday, but he also had some really nice chances. And so he saw some time on the power play as well, had a couple of opportunities in tight, And he very easily could have ended up on the score sheet too. So I guess 1, 2, 3 and 3A, four players there that kind of stood out to me. But again, I think those are some names there, especially the younger guys that you would have hoped to have seen some good things from, and you definitely did yesterday.
Well, those are some of the younger guys that the Predators will need to have step up throughout this upcoming season if the Predators do want to return to the playoffs like they did last season. And one of those players, you mentioned Tanner Jeannot, and I'm not just bringing him up because he scored two goals yesterday, but Tanner Jeannot left his mark in a short sample size with this Predators team late last season, scoring 5 goals in 15 games, got some time into the playoffs. Tanner Jeannot is someone that I know John Hines thinks very highly of, and I feel like he's going to carve out a pretty big role on this club, as big of a role as somebody in his position can, as a third or fourth liner.
Agreed. And I, you know, one cool little thing yesterday that, of course, as we said, the big names didn't go. Those are the guys that typically wear the letters, the captains, the assistant captains. Tanner Jeannot actually was an assistant captain in the game yesterday, one of three for the Predators in each game. And that's not something that you expect from a player who only has a handful of games of NHL experience to put that letter on his jersey. To me, that right there tells you what John Hines thinks of him, at least as a leader, if nothing else, his leadership capabilities. To me, Jeannot, and we've remarked on this just amongst us as we've been watching training camp, he looks bigger and stronger. He was already a big, strong guy, but he definitely looks like he put in some more work in the weight room in the offseason. And then again, just yesterday, you know, I don't want to sit here and say that Tanner Jeannot is going to go out and score 20 goals, but over the course of an 82 game season, I mean, never say never, depending on what kind of role that he's put in. I don't think the Predators are necessarily, you know, I don't think he's going to be the first guy on the list to look to as a goal scorer, but you're certainly going to appreciate that if he's able to chip in that way as well. And I just think there's a lot of high hope for him. We know that he was protected in the expansion draft because just the potential the Predators see there in a player who was undrafted, signed a couple of seasons ago, and has really just rocketed through the ranks and seemed to have found his way onto this Predators roster. And, you know, I think he's a guy that is 100% absolutely going to be there on opening night. And so, again, just we saw what he's capable of last year, and I think each game he just got better and better and better. John Hines, I think, already has a lot of trust in him. We know what he's capable of as far as the physicality is concerned. You still need that in today's game to bring some energy. And if he can start chipping in on some offense like he did yesterday, there's a lot to like about Tanner Jeannot. And again, just, you know, keep things in perspective. He's still a young player, but he is a guy, as you said, if the Predators want to make the playoffs, they're going to have to get a lot of contributions from all areas of the ice. Tanner Jeannot is certainly someone who's capable of providing that. What will he look like over the course of an 82 game season? I think that's really exciting to see the potential there.
Brooks, you also brought up Cody Glass, and Cody Glass acquired in the trade for Ryan Ellis. Ellis going to Philadelphia for Philip Myers, and then they flip Nolan Patrick to Vegas for Cody Glass back in the summer. You mentioned that he hit the post early on in game one of the doubleheader yesterday. What have you seen from Cody Glass just from the start of camp? I know it was only a couple of practices before yesterday's doubleheader, but he's certainly a player that is kind of this mystery box for the Nashville Predators this season, where the time that he got in Vegas maybe wasn't conducive to him excelling because they have a loaded roster. So what have you seen that you've liked out of Cody Glass here in the early goings here on camp?
A lot of speed, a lot of skill. And he reminded me a lot yesterday, just how he was set up on the power play. He reminded me a lot of Philip Forsberg set up on that right side. We're used to seeing Forsberg on the right and Elie Tolvanen on the left. And Tolvanen was on the left in that first game on the power play on that top unit. But Cody Glass was on that right side. And he really reminded me a lot of Philip Forsberg and the way that he kind of commands that side of the ice on the man advantage. And Tolvanen opens up for those opportunities. I was really impressed with what he was able to do on the power play, and he skated on a line with Luke Cunningham and Elie Tolvanen in 5-on-5 as well. And, you know, as we said, he rang one off the post early in the, or later in that first period in game one, I should say. And, you know, I think, again, we, in talking to David Poile in recent weeks, he, of course, is a guy that the Predators think has as much potential as anyone on the roster. And Ryan, as you said, you just, it's kind of a mystery, right? You know that there's a lot of skill, a lot of potential there. It's just a matter of what happens again when he's healthy. But that to me is the key point, and why the Predators are so excited is because he has dealt with injuries. He's had a knee surgery, and so as far as moving forward and getting him healthy, that is what the Predators have, is a fully healthy Cody Glass. And I don't think that was necessarily the case for the last 1 to 2 seasons for him. And so a player like that at that stage in their career, when they really should be coming onto the NHL scene as a number 6 overall pick, as a 20-year-old, 21-year-old, that was kind of taken away from Cody Glass. And so now as a 22-year-old, he's really getting healthy at the point where he should be becoming a full-time NHLer. And again, David Poile has said to me, you know, we've got a lot of forwards with a lot of potential, but you don't know what's going to happen until you actually get into that game action. So I thought for a first showing and playing on a line with Luke Cunningham and Ellie Tolvanen, and who knows if that's the way that it stays moving forward. But the Preds obviously like the potential there, not only of that line, but of course of Glass in general. And so we'll see moving forward. But yeah, I was impressed with the small sample size on Sunday, and we'll see where he goes from here as far as some more preseason action and where he hopefully slots in on opening night.
Speaking of forwards with potential, Ellie Tolvanen played yesterday. There was a stat that stood out to me in the box score that I want to address on the other side. Plus, what is the biggest room for improvement for Ellie Tolvanen as he enters his first full season, the first full 82-game season in the National Hockey League? We'll get to all that coming up next here on Preds Insiders. Ryan Porth and Brooks Bratton here with you on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Preds Insiders rolls right along here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Brian Porth joined by Brooks Bratton of NashvillePredators.com and the Predators official podcast, which you can hear every Saturday morning on these airwaves from 8 to 9 a.m. Brooks was in Florida yesterday for the Predators preseason doubleheader, where the Preds lost game one 5-4 in overtime, and then game two of the doubleheader 3-1 to Florida. The Panthers had some better rosters out there, but still some good things that John Hines and company saw from both sets of rosters in yesterday's doubleheader. And Brooks, one thing, as I was combing through the event summaries of both games for Preds Panthers, Ellie Tolvanen, I had to do a double take on Ellie Tolvanen and the number of hits that he was credited with in game one of the doubleheader, where Ellie Tolvanen was credited with 7 hits. Was that legit? Like, was he just going around like crazy, just hitting everything in sight yesterday? I mean, what got into Tolvanen where he had 7 hits yesterday?
I would not have guessed that he had 7 hits, but that's not out of the realm of possibility. You never know how they score those sort of things, right? I feel like you go into one building sometimes and you're like, oh, that guy hit everything that moved tonight, and he has 2 hits.
Yeah.
Or so, you know, I will say, and this is something that we've talked about before, is Tolvanen really added some physicality to his game last year too. That was kind of an underrated part of it, as he was coming onto the scene, and we know what he was doing on the power play and just really establishing himself as a full-time NHLer. But he incorporated some physicality into his game too, and that was part of the reason that he even got into the lineup full-time last year to begin with, is because he finally hit that point where the Predators felt like they could trust him in all areas of the ice. And, you know, there's never been a question, even since he was drafted by Nashville in 2017, there's never been a question as to whether he can score. We've known that for a very long time. It's can he be relied upon in the neutral zone, in the defensive zone, to make the right play, to make the right decision? And so that was why he even ended up getting into the lineup last year full time. And then on the contrary, there were some issues as we got later on in that regular season, why he came out of the lineup. And so that's, to me, the biggest thing is him finding that consistency, as you said, in an 82 game season, because it's going to be different this year for a lot of these guys who got a taste last year. And of course there were only 56 to deal with. I don't know about seven hits. I mean, maybe if he did, I mean, I'll take it. He's definitely a guy who's not afraid to shy away from that side of the game either. Now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, I know he had at least a couple that I can think of yesterday. So, that's an area that not every guy is going to go out of their way to make a hit, but, Tolvanen is certainly a guy who's not afraid to engage in that part of the game as well. And I think that's better for his all around game, honestly, if that's just one more way to get him engaged.
So by the sounds of it, it doesn't sound like it's your normal seven hit night on the stat sheet compared to what Preds fans may have expected out of like a Jordan Tutu back in the day.
No, but exactly. With seven hits. Exactly. And I think especially into that second game, like, you know, the Preds had some guys, we know Mark Borowiecki, who that's a big part of his game. Josh Healy's a big hitter on defense too. Guys like Michael McCarron, Matthew Olivier were dressed in the second game. So I think of those guys, I was like, yes, they were involved. They were hitting everything that moved. But yeah, Tolvi, maybe he snuck in some hits there on the side, but yeah, if that's, you know, that's certainly part of his game that we've seen, and more power to him if he's willing to throw his weight around, because that's not the easiest thing to do either. And, you know, some guys shy away from that sort of thing, and especially a goal scorer, you don't necessarily expect that out of his game. So just one more part of him that he's becoming more well-rounded as we go along here.
Yeah, Preds defenseman Josh Healy was credited with 8 hits in game two.
That checks out.
Checks out, pun intended. All right, so with Elly Tolvanen, looking at him just big picture here, what do you feel, Brooks, is the area of improvement that you would like to see out of Elly Tolvanen this season for him to take his game to the next level?
Well, I think just more consistency, and that's a common theme for a young player, especially who's trying to become a full-time NHLer. And, again, as I mentioned, the reason he got into the lineup last year is because of the way that his game had rounded out. But as we went along later in the season, one, he just unfortunately wasn't able to find the score sheet. I think, and I remember looking this up during the offseason, I think it was the last maybe 8 to 10 games of the regular season, he did not register a point. And a guy like Elly Tolvanen, you want him registering points, especially from his spot there on the power play. I think too, it's again, just a case of him being a younger player and sometimes just slip in and out of your confidence. And especially for him, a guy like that, like if you're a goal scorer, not saying that he lost all confidence, but it certainly helps if the puck is going in the net for you. And, you know, I can think of guys just over the years who have been here. And if you're a goal scorer or you're a guy that puts up points, sometimes you lose your confidence if things aren't going in for you. And that can be tough to deal with. And so, and Tolvanen got a chance in the postseason as well. He was scratched a couple of times in the playoffs, but he did eventually get his chances and no more points in the postseason either. So again, in talking to David Poile a couple of weeks ago, that's his big thing on Elly Tolvanen, is just finding that consistency with the ability to produce on a regular basis. It's unrealistic to expect him to score every game or chip in with an assist every single game, but more often than not, that is the role that you want him to have on your team. And, you know, is he a forward who gets into the top six this season? Perhaps. I think the Predators would certainly like him to be there. They don't want him on the third or fourth line. And, he's a guy, again, what does it look like 5-on-5 for him? Where does he slot in on the power play? He certainly should be on the power play with that shot and that ability on the left side. So we know there's a ton of things to like about Tolvanen's game, right? We've been talking about it for years, and it was great to see him finally really get that chance last season. But now it's about building on that. And that's one of the bigger question marks for the Predators is can he be a player who deserves to be in the lineup every night? And that's a big thing for him. I know he didn't show up on the score sheet yesterday, but he had some chances too. And I think that's all you ask for him, because a player like that with his shot, if he keeps doing what he does, it's eventually going to go in again.
Well, you mentioned the drought that he had late last season, and it felt like Elly Tolvanen was not the same player after he left the lineup with an injury. He missed a handful of games due to injury. He came back in his first game and scored in that game, but didn't score in the last eight regular season games, and then didn't have a goal in the playoffs either. So who knows what kind of effect that injury that he sustained in mid-April last year had on the product that we saw out of Tolvanen down the stretch and in the playoffs. But overall, for me, with Tolvanen, I want to see him score more at even strength, because he scored 11 goals in 40 games last year, six on the power play, five at even strength. And we know what kind of threat he is on the power play. Kind of like what you mentioned, that's his bread and butter. You know what you're going to get out of Elie Tolvanen, especially if he's in the left circle. Philip Forsberg's in the right circle. I mean, that is one of the most deadly combos when they're firing on all cylinders, like they showed midway through the season last year. But for Tolvanen to take that next step, for me, he's got to be able to produce consistently at even strength. And if he does that on top of what he does on the power play, then they have something here with Tolvanen.
Exactly. I agree completely. And that's, again, just really intriguing to see where he is going to end up come opening night. As I said, he was on a line with Cody Glass and Luke Cunningham yesterday, two players the Predators are very excited about what they can bring to this team this year. And then we'll see if he's with one of the top guys that we saw a couple days ago in training camp. And again, it's so early, so we try not to read too much into the line combinations, but it was Ryan Johansson between Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene. We know that's a lot of skill on that top line. Does Elie Tolvanen end up playing with a Forsberg or a Johansson or a Duchene at some point this season? Does he stick with a guy like Cody Glass, who's a bit of a playmaker as well, who can certainly set him up? I think that's that'll be a really interesting storyline. As one, as you said, Ryan, just to see, can he produce more consistently in all areas of the ice at all, whether it's the power play or 5-on-5, whatever the case is. But also, who will he end up playing with, and who will he mesh with and develop chemistry with as we go along here? So really interested to see. So I thought he looked good on Sunday. Certainly he can provide a little bit more as most guys can from time to time. But he's a guy, again, the Predators remain really high on him, and they want him to be a big part of this team moving forward. He's got a new 3-year deal. And they want him in the fold, and they want him being a big part of this offense. And that's certainly the expectation as well.
Brooks Bratton of NashvillePredators.com and the Predators official podcast joining me, Ryan Porth, here on Preds Insiders here on this Monday evening. Brooks, final thing for you. Coming up in the next segment, our listeners will be able to hear my conversation from last week with John Hines. And John Hines got into a lot of different things with me, including UC Saros, the defense, just the overall state of this team going into training camp, which started on Friday morning at Centennial Sportsplex. But one of the other topics that John and I discussed was Matt Duchene. And he brings up multiple times in this conversation about wanting to, quote, maximize his potential within the lineup this season. And the lineup that you brought up from training camp practices of Duchene flanking the right side alongside Forsberg and Johansson isn't necessarily a surprise to me, given John Hines's comments about wanting to maximize his potential. It's a trio that we saw in the postseason last year. And I'd be surprised, Brooks, if early on this season, whether it's in game 1, game 4, game 10, whatever it may be, would not be surprised to see Duchene on that top line and not playing center on the second line.
Wouldn't surprise me either. And in talking to Matt Duchene on day one of training camp too, he's one of the guys, and I think everybody's excited for this, but he's definitely one of the guys who I would say is most excited about just the anticipation of having a full, hopefully normal 82 game season. There's a lot that's happened since Matt Duchene's been here. He had that unreal start to the season in 2019-20. And then he cooled off a little bit. And then we know John Hines comes in for Peter Laviolette just after the new year. And then things start to turn around. And then 2 months later, the season gets shut down. And last year dealing with COVID and everything was just different. You know, Duchene had mentioned that it's just been a weird couple of years. And, you know, you try not to take for granted what guys like that do for a living. And he said, you know, you're you're only between 20 and 40 once, and you try to make the most of the opportunity that you're afforded. And so he's a guy, again, I mean, he'd be the first one to tell you that he hasn't been happy with what he's produced or what he hasn't produced as far as the offensive side of things is concerned in the last couple of seasons. And, you know, he's a guy, again, that he's on this Predators roster, right? Like, he's a part of this team. He's going to be here for a while. And I think David Poile, again, has said something to the effect of, like, if, you know, this is how we're going to succeed, is we need our biggest guys, our most important guys on the offensive side of things to produce, plain and simple. And Matt Duchene is certainly one of those guys. So, yeah, it's, as you said, it's all about maximizing his potential. And if it's playing with Ryan Johansson and Philip Forsberg on a line, you know, we'll see what that ends up looking like come opening night. But yeah, I mean, Matt Duchene is, plain and simple, he's going to have to be a big part of this team if the Predators are to have some success. So it was just, again, encouraging to hear him talk on day one of camp, kind of having a new, fresh outlook on this. I think everybody's a little bit rejuvenated and refreshed. I mean, personally, I know I am, just from being at camp the past couple of days and having more of a sense of normalcy and just being around more people. And, you know, and for someone like me, it doesn't really matter what I think in the grand scheme of things, but I'm saying, what I mean is that there is just it's been so refreshing to kind of be back to normal, to have a training camp, to have some preseason games upcoming. And so that's really intriguing and encouraging, I think. And I think a lot of guys are feeling that as well. Duchene's certainly one of them. So, you know, you can say how excited and how encouraged you are all you want. Obviously, you've got to produce. But, you know, he's a guy that, again, if the Preds are going to have success, it's going to come from him. And so we'll see. We'll see what John Hines is able to get out of Matt Duchene, what Matt Duchene's able to get out of himself. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that, because that's, he's a guy, he was brought here for a reason, and he wants to produce more. Everybody wants him to produce more. And you've got to have some high hopes, right? Like, you can't go into it and say, you know, oh, this isn't going to work, whatever. Like, you just got to keep trying, because you know that he's capable of it. And so I'm really encouraged by just his comments and how he's feeling, how he's heading into this with a fresh mindset. And we'll see what comes of it, because he can be a really big piece of this team. We know why he was brought in, and the Preds do want him to be that big, reliable piece, one of those pieces up front that really makes a difference night after night.
Brooks Bratton has been our guest here on Preds Insiders. You can find Brooks's work at NashvillePredators.com and on the Predators official podcast, which you can hear on these airwaves Saturdays from 8 to 9 a.m. On ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brooks, thank you as always for your time, and we'll talk to you again here soon.
Thanks, Porth. Much appreciated.
All right, that was Brooks Bratton from NashvillePredators.com and the Predators official podcast, which you can hear Saturday mornings on ESPN 102.5 The Game from 8 to 9 a.m. Enjoyed his perspective there from the Nashville Predators preseason doubleheader opener yesterday, where the Preds dropped both games to the Panthers, 5-4 in overtime in game one, 3-1 in game two. And last week, I had a chance to catch up with Preds head coach John Hines ahead of the start of training camp. And we get into a number of different things, him being assistant coach on Team USA at the Olympics coming up in February, UC Saros, Matt Duchene, the Predators defense, Philip Tomasino. All of that is on the table on the other side of Preds Insiders. I'm Ryan Porth. Preds Insiders brought to you every week by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. Welcome back into Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth here with you. Before we get to John Hines, you have a chance to win some Preds Sharks tickets coming up on October 26th. All you need to do is head over to our YouTube page, search 102.5 The Game and 94.9, subscribe to the YouTube page, and you'll be entered to win two tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the San Jose Sharks at Bridgestone Arena on October 26th. So you can go ahead and do that today, tomorrow, what have you, but that is an opportunity for you to get into that game. So last week, I was joined by John Hines, Predators head coach. Great conversation about a number of different things. Here's that conversation. We are joined by Nashville Predators head coach John Hines as training camp starts this week. John,
thank you so much for joining us here this evening.
Well, thanks for having me, Ryan. I appreciate it.
So, John, before we get into the start of training camp here later this week for your team, I do want to say congratulations on being named an assistant coach for Team USA at the Winter Olympics in February. That has to be a great honor for you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And, you know, it is. It's the opportunity to represent your country at the highest level and in best-on-best competition is certainly an honor and a challenge. And I think, you know, when you look at different opportunities throughout careers in coaching or playing, that, you know, the Olympics is really a special event, and I feel fortunate to be able to be chosen to take part in the staff. And it's, you know, something I think as we've talked about as an Olympic staff and even with the players, that, you know, you never know when these opportunities come. It really is, could be an opportunity of a lifetime where you're not sure if the NHL is going to go back in the next few years or how things go. So I'm really honored, really excited, and up for the challenge.
John, I feel like I blinked over the summer, and now training camp is upon us across the National Hockey League from, you know, from when the season ended back on Memorial Day weekend for y'all. What do you want to take away from the second half of last season and into the playoffs for this group that you want to apply as you start a new season?
I think when you look at what happened the second half of the year, was we really committed to an identity that really suits our team and suits the personnel. And I think it's a situation where, you know, when you look at the consistency that we played with, the intensity and the competitiveness that we played with throughout the lineup, was something that really made a big difference. And I thought early in the year, you know, it was inconsistent in those areas. Now we believe we have some really good talented players on the team, but I think the thing that the group really recognized and committed to was, you know, there has to be a certain level of work ethic and competitiveness night in and night out, shift in and shift out, that allow you to be able to set up your game to create offense, to be a hard team to play against, to put yourself in positions to win more often than not. And that was something that we really got to as a group the second half of the season and into the playoffs. And then now we want to be able to come back into training camp. I think there's a clear understanding how we need to play. And now it's our job to make sure that we're using training camp to get our habits back, get the identity back, the fitness level back, how hard we want to be able to play, get those things established early in training camp, and then you continue to build from there. And obviously it was a good second half of the season. You know, we didn't win a round of the playoffs, so our objective is to build upon the identity we had at the end of last season, but we need to continue to grow it also. It can't just stay there. We've got to continue to grow it.
So, John, one of the big changes for y'all this season is between the pipes, Pekka retiring over the summer, and now UC Saros is now officially the number one goalie without any question, now that the franchise mainstay is no longer in the crease. So UC has typically been kind of a slower starter throughout his career at the beginning of seasons. Do you feel like him going into the season as the number one and being able to play consistently right off the bat is going to help him get off to a quicker start than normal?
I do, and I think it's something that's important for Juice, and obviously it's important for our team to be able to get goaltending right away. And it is something that we had discussed with him prior to him going back to Finland for the summer, some slight adjustments in what he's doing training-wise. You know, one of the differences that he did, you know, he's always been in very good shape, and he really takes care of himself that way and gets himself prepared for the season. But during the summer, earlier than he normally has, he skated more with NHL players in Helsinki than more in his hometown. So we tried to start him, and he tried to start a little bit earlier with his on-ice preparation. And then not only just starting earlier, but starting in a better situation with some higher-end, more NHL-caliber shooters, pace of play. And then he's come over, and he looks, you know, he looks really good. So we've tried to make it aware that his starts haven't been what he or we would want him to be. There has been a slight adjustment in his training protocol. But I also think the fact that, you know, he's a real prideful guy, and I think he's got a lot of confidence from what he's been able to accomplish over the last couple of years. And he's coming in with the mindset and the mentality that, you know, he can't ease his way into the season. We're going to need him to get off to a great start, have a good training camp, and get some wins early for us early this season. And I think the mental part of it is also something that I think is a slight adjustment for him that we see he's come back. And according to Ben Vanderklok, our goalie coach, he looks he kind of looks the best. Although we haven't been in training camp, we have had a lot of skates over at Centennial that he looks as sharp as he's looked over the past couple of years.
John, what's the biggest difference that you've seen in UC Saros between when you started in January of 2020 and now as you head into really your first full season with this team in terms of an 82-game schedule?
I think really I would say maturity. You know, he was always behind Pekka, and it was Pekka's net and Pekka's team, as we all know, and Juice's job was to come in and support Pekka, be a great teammate, and be ready to play when called upon. And, you know, over the last couple of years, he's kind of taken the role over, and now you're starting to see the ability to play consistently night in and night out, really understanding how his day-to-day routine has changed from a backup to a starter regarding practice, rest, recovery, being able to play multiple games in a week. And I'd say probably the biggest thing when it comes to the starter is he has more – there's more confidence, there's more presence about him that, you know, he expects to play, he expects to be in the net, he expects to play at a winning level. And I think that combination of understanding how he needs to go about his business, but also I think the mental part and how he carries himself in and around the team, the confidence that he has in himself, but also that breeds also within the locker room when your goaltender is confident, focused, and playing well and handling things the right way. And I'd say those two are the biggest things that have been a change from when I come in till now.
John Hines, Nashville Predators head coach, here with us on Preds Insiders. John, late last season, Matt Duchene, when he returned from injury, spent some time at center, spent some time on the wing. What do you envision his role being on this club this season?
Well, I think the first thing with Matt is we want to help him maximize his ability to play and be an impact player for us. And that's working with him, talking with him, trying to help him find the right positions and some things he needs to do better on the ice, but also recognize some things he has done very well. And we've had some good discussions this offseason on that. Matt can play center. When he does play wing, he prefers to play on the right side. And he's been productive at both points in his career. He's been productive as a center, but he's also been productive as a right wing. So, I think what we'd like to try to do is see, give him opportunities at both in training camp. I think some of it also is who he's playing with, and then let's help him get to a level where he can access his skill set to maximize his potential as a player.
How much of trying to maximize that potential is between the ears for him, and how much of it is the role that he has within the depth chart and within the lineup?
Well, I think it's really a combination. Matt's a guy, every player wants to come in, they want to be able to do well, they want to contribute to the team, and they want to play to the best of their ability. And, there's been some really good times with Matt here. The consistency level of those times is what, we're trying to work with him on and he's trying to work with together. Is how can we get, string lots of consistent performances together and night in and night out playing the way that, we expect him to play and help our team win. And that's one I think you have to work together with it. And then the other one is like every player, we expect him to be a player that really helps drive our team and can contribute offensively. But, the other part is really being a guy that helps us win night in and night out, whether that's through his scoring production, his ability to make plays, whether it's through his effort and his intensity level as a player. Those are the things that we're really focusing on with him this year is there's multiple ways you can help us win. Production is certainly one that we both want, and how can we find ways to make sure that process is better?
John Hines, head coach of the Nashville Predators, here with us on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. John, a little bit of a change on defense for y'all this season. Ryan Ellis traded away to Philadelphia. Now bringing up guys like Alex Carrier, Dante Fabro, some other youngsters. You still have Roman Josi and Mattias Ekholm. Do you feel like you're going to be leaning on Josi and Ekholm as much as ever, at least to start the season, as you bring some of the younger guys on defense along?
I think I wouldn't necessarily say lean, Ryan. I think it's fair to say that Josi and Ekholm are going to be the backbone and the leaders of our D-core. But it's important too that they really can play their game, and they have to make sure that those guys are playing. And we're helping them play to the best of their ability with Josi and Ekholm and But they are going to be the leaders back there. They're going to be the guys that are talking to different players. They're going to set the tone and the expectation of how we want our D to play. And then we do feel like Alex Carrier has come in. He played really well last year, although he is a young player, a new player, so to speak, but he does have lots of pro experience. And I think we all saw what he could do and the potential he has the second half of last season. Now we're expecting Dante Favreau. I know Dante's had a really good off season. You know, he's made some changes to the way he goes about his business. He's hired a speed and skating coach, which is something really important that we felt was needed to be better for him in the off season. We're expecting him to come in and take another step. And then you have Philip Myers as a guy that, you know, we feel like we needed to add some size on the blue line. I think when you look at the successful teams or the teams that have lots of success getting into the playoffs and not only getting in but making runs in the playoffs, you know, they have some size on the decor. And Phillip's a guy with a lot of upside, good size, very good skater. So we feel like he has a real strong potential to come in and be a good player for us on the right side. And then I think you also look at Matt Benning. I mean, Matt Benning came in and the way that he adds to the penalty kill, he's a great competitor, he's a great teammate. Like, he's just not going to give – he's not going to give a job away either. So I think when you look at the competition on the right side of the decor, it's going to be interesting in training camp to who's going to come in and grab the open spots, because we believe it's a true competition. And I think when you look on the left side, you also have Borowicki and Harper. You know, those are two guys that are a different ilk than some of the players that I just mentioned, but they're big, strong, harder, heavier players, very good on the penalty kill, both bring a physical presence. So we feel like you know, there's lots of potential, lots of good options on our blue line, but I think training camp is going to be really, really competitive to see who grabs hold of those roles.
John, final thing for you here. I know a lot of eyes with the fans are going to be on Philip Tomasino here in training camp and in the preseason. How much for Tomasino do you feel like he benefited from playing in the AHL last season that can potentially prepare him for an NHL gig, you know, as soon as this season?
Yeah, you know, it was great that he had the opportunity to play in the American League last year, because, you know, it's just lots of little things that you have to take into account when you're bringing along a young player, is that now he makes a jump from junior to the American League. So, you know, he's playing against bigger, older, stronger, more experienced, sometimes smarter, more savvy players. And to be able to go through that and practice against that every day, to be able to play in games against that every time he plays, that's a big step. It's the intermediary step between junior to the National Hockey League. And, you know, Philip, I think he's learned some strong lessons from that, and he had some good success in the American League. It was also a real benefit for him to be able to come up in the taxi squad and be around the NHL players and see the intensity of and effort and preparation that they put into practice, pre-practice, post-practice, pre-game, post-game, meetings. Like, he had a lot of access to things that could help him get off to a really good start here, because he knows everybody, he knows the players, he's seen the different level of junior to the American League to the NHL in terms of talent, preparation, size, experience. Now he's out in the rookie camp in Tampa right now playing against, you know, those guys in that level. So, you know, we're expecting him to come in, really focus on having a strong training camp. We'd like to give him some great opportunities in training camp to play in some situations that can help him. And, you know, that we're really excited to help and work with him through camp, and we're expecting him to be a guy that hopefully can be a real strong contributor to our team this year.
Head coach of the Nashville Predators, John Hines, has been our guest here on Preds Insiders. John, thank you so much for your time here this evening. Best of luck as training camp gets underway, and congrats once again on being named to Team USA as an assistant coach.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Really appreciate it. Look forward to kind of, this is the start, I guess, for us, right? So certainly looking forward to working with you this year.
Thanks once again to John Hines for joining me last week here on Preds Insiders. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. And thanks, as always, to Brooks Bratton for joining me earlier in the show to recap the Predators' preseason doubleheader against Florida yesterday and the first couple of days of training camp. We'll be back with you on Preds Insiders next Monday at 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.